I'm scared of audiences. I get super scared. One show in Amsterdam, I was so nervous, I escaped out the fire exit. I've thrown up a couple times. Once in Brussels, I projectile vomited on someone. I just gotta bear it. I have anxiety attacks a lot. Adele. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the third episode of How Are You? Really? With your host, Nick. And as I'm sure you can pick up from the opening quotation there from Adele, we're going to discuss anxiety this episode. So let me start off with, let me give you a little definition I got from psychiatry.org. Anxiety is a normal reaction to stress and can be beneficial in some situations. It can alert us to dangers and help us prepare and pay attention. So this, in turn, elicits something referred to as the fight-or-flight response, which is a pretty widely used term in psychology. Can also be known as the acute stress response. This fight-or-flight response, it's named that. The name kind of gives it away. When put under stress, your body either reacts in a way to fight whatever has confronted you, or your body will want to experience flight or run away, get away from whatever situation is. That's basically what this response is all about. It can increases the some physiological reactions, and this can be examined through your heart rate, blood flow to your brains and the muscles. You get sweaty palms, dilated pupils, etc., etc. Your body tenses up and is ready to react and respond to the situation. Unfortunately, anxiety disorders forego normal feelings of nervousness and involve excessive fear with the anticipation, which can be kind of troubling for this response. You start going into this fight or flight mode far too often, more than you should be. And these feelings, people will make an attempt to avoid these situations at all costs, and they avoid them so they avoid their triggers or situations that make their symptoms worse. And this can lead to affecting an individual's job performance, schoolwork, or even personal relationships. In general, for a person to be diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, the fear must be just out of proportion for the situation or inappropriate to the age of that person. The anxiety must hinder your ability to function normally. And as I mentioned before, you know, anxiety is the most common mental illness. And fortunately, it's also the most treatable, though. So about one in every three people will experience it at some point in their life. So let's get into some types of anxiety disorders. So this is the most common, obviously, and just as a little disclaimer here, a lot of these disorders are very similar. Anxiety is one of the more common, I don't necessarily want to say simple, but it is kind of on the more simplistic side of mental illness, but that doesn't diminish the severity of it, if that makes sense. So, but the first one is called generalized anxiety disorder. And this one involves a persistent and excessive worry that interferes with daily activities. So the continuous worry and tension can be accompanied by physical symptoms, which is restlessness, that feeling like you're on edge, easily fatigued, difficulty concentrating, the muscle tension, and problem sleeping. These worries tend to focus on everyday things such as job responsibilities, family health, or even minor things like chores, car repairs, appointments, you know, stuff like that, the things that don't really matter in life, you know. So that's just person just constantly worrying everything, you know. That's generalized anxiety disorder. The next one's a little dicier, panic disorder. So the key in this one, as I said, a lot of these anxiety disorders are pretty similar. This one, though, involves reoccurring panic attacks that involve an overwhelming combination of physical and psychological distress. So several symptoms have to come into play for these panic attacks to occur, and they combined to create this moment of complete distress. So some of these symptoms can involve heart palpitations, so really loud beating, pounding, or just really rapid sweating, trembling, shaking, shortness of breath, chest pain, dizziness, lightheadedness, feeling of choking, numbness or tingling, chills or hot flashes, nausea, abdominal pains, the feelings of detachment, or fears of losing all control and or dying. So, you know, and those sound a little like they're just kind of in your head, which they are. You know, that's what all of this is. It's all in your head. But when you're experiencing these things, they seem completely real, and that's why this can be such a troubling disorder. You know, a lot of these people, again, just believe that they're literally about to die or have a heart attack. So they end up going to the hospital or the ER, and then, you know, eventually they'll calm down there. And, you know, that's a lot of instances occur because of this disorder. Like that occur because of this disorder. But, yeah. The next one's called specific phobia disorder. And this one might sound a little familiar to you. Specific phobia is excessive and persistent fear of a specific object, situation, or activity that is generally not harmful. So generally the patients know their fear is excessive, but they still can't overcome it. These fears can cause such distress that some people even go to extreme lengths to avoid that fear. You know, and that could really, again, all of these disorders really reach that troubling time when they're just debilitating to a person's life and, you know, they can no longer function in an appropriate way. Let me see how to pronounce this one. Agoraphobia is the fear of being in situations where escape may be difficult or embarrassing, or help may not be available in the event of panic symptoms. So the fear is out of proportion to the actual situation, and these feelings continue to last for 6 months or so, and again, impedes on normal functionality. So a person can fear has to experience this in two or more of these situations, with one being using public transportation, being in open spaces, being in enclosed places, standing in line, or being in a crowd, or being outside the home alone. And this one, agoraphobia, if it goes untreated, can be extremely disruptive because it can gain so much intensity over time that an individual just never leaves their house at all out of fear. And that's when these anxiety disorders can be a real put a person's well-being in jeopardy. And, you know, that's not okay. So the next one is called social anxiety disorder. This one involves significant anxiety or discomfort about being embarrassed, humiliated, rejected, or looked down on in social interactions. That, I feel like, is a pretty common feeling for a majority of people. Just others, it's the intensity of those feelings are stronger. And people with this disorder will go to extreme lengths to avoid these situations, or will endure it with great discomfort. So again, one of the key points to anxiety is people, instead of facing their fears, right, the fight or flight, instead of fighting, they fly, right, away from their situation. So they just try to avoid. And that's when it becomes disruptive to their lives, when they can't do seemingly common things without experiencing this extreme anxiety. So common examples for social anxiety include the fear of public speaking, meeting new people, or eating and drinking in public. You know, these are real fears for people. And again, you can be diagnosed with this only if it impedes on your daily life and lasts at least 6 months. The next one's pretty similar to that, only it involves separation. So it's a separation anxiety disorder. Person is excessively fearful about separation from those with whom he or she is most attached to. These feelings are beyond the appropriate level for their age group and continue to persist, which means about 4 weeks for children, about 6 months for adults. Again, 6 month period is kind of when you can qualify for a disorder, according to the DSM. And this causes problems, again, in functionality, kind of across the board with all of them. That's where this mental illness disorders come. That's why they're called disorders. They impede on your everyday life and your overall functionability. Other disorders that have anxiety elements to them include, but definitely aren't limited to these, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, OCD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, depression, bipolar disorder, or schizophrenia. All these have elements of anxiety within them. So let's talk about some risk factors. The direct causes are currently unknown, unfortunately, but likely involve a combination of factors, including genetic, environmental, psychological, and developmental. So these causes tend to be case-specific, since the source of the anxiety is generally unique to the individual, but often can be generalized to other, you know, similar cases. And this, again, if you tuned into the last episode of the depression episode, this kind of gets into the nature versus nurture argument, which is one of the older arguments in psychology, which will have its own episode down the road. But you know, is this stuff genetic and developmental? Are you just born with it? Was it passed down from parents, grandparents, stuff like that? Or is it nurture? Nurture being environmental factors, growing up around anxiety, anxious people, growing up in situations creating a lot of fear in an individual. Is it psychological, where you're just slightly weaker in certain portions, where your peers are stronger, like self-esteem, you know, stuff of that nature, where you're more apt to become overly anxious about certain things? Is it both? Is it a combination of the two? You know, that we can argue about that all day, and, you know, psychologists have been. So, you know, risk factors, it could be pretty much anything for anxiety, but it really just comes down to the individual and just trying to get to the root of their own unique triggers for their anxiety. All right, let's get into some treatments for anxiety. These are pretty straightforward. You know, although each anxiety disorder has its own unique characteristics, most respond well to the two main types of treatments in psychology, that being psychotherapy, which is also known as talk therapy, and medication. These can be given alone or in combination depending on the case. If it is psychotherapy, the most commonly used, most effective one generally is CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. And this one is definitely one of the most utilized resources for treating anxiety because it can help an individual learn a different way of thinking, reacting, and behaving to help them feel less anxious. You know, that's usually in these cases, psychologists try to utilize psychotherapy, CBT, first, and then if need be, they dive into the second method, which is medication, and that involves anti-anxiety or antidepressants, mood stabilizers, if you will. They both can be effective for significant short-term relief from symptoms, but it definitely doesn't cure anxiety. So generally, it does involve both. You know, if you can kind of help an individual learn what their triggers are, identify them, help them learn how to understand and respond to when they're starting to feel their triggers take hold, or, you know, once the anxiety starts to get a hold of them and be able to cope, you know, deep breaths, kind of center themselves. That's generally the best way to treat anxiety. Group therapy could also be really effective for long-term coping. You can get in a group with people who are also experiencing similar things as you, and, you know, maybe form some friendships that way and kind of help bounce off of each other and cope appropriately. And they, unfortunately though, many people with anxiety disorders don't ever seek help because they generally don't realize that they have an illness that has effective treatments. Or, and as not to make a joke, but as kind of funny as it is, they're just too anxious to seek help for their anxiety, which is, yeah, kind of a troubling situation. So in conclusion, I just wanted to reiterate, anxiety and anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness. And, you know, we all experience anxiety in different ways, at different points, and more often than most of us realize. You know, a lot of the times we experience a lot of these symptoms that are attributed to anxiety. You know, anxiety, nervousness, all this stuff is natural, healthy feelings, but just that once you reach a certain cutoff line, it becomes unhealthy. You know, again, the fight or flight response is extremely effective for survival. You know, you can go back to, the Serengeti, I guess, look in Africa, that animals that can read and react to a situation quicker than their peers tend to survive longer, right? You know, if, a wildebeest reacts quicker than his buddy does to a situation and either fights or flights, if you will, he's most likely going to survive. So, you know, there is a place for that response. It just becomes excessive in certain individuals because of, you know, unhealthy situations. A lot of times we can't handle most of the anxieties on our own. Again, I kind of mentioned with the deep breaths, just kind of centering yourself, focusing. But, you know, there are times that you can't, and when the anxiety's, you know, disruptive to your life. And, you know, so never be scared to reach out you know, be vocal about what you're feeling. Make it known that you are anxious, and that might help the situation, help you alleviate your anxiety. And, you know, just try to be aware of what you're feeling in the moment. And, you know, take a mental inventory of how you're feeling at, you know, different points of the day, you know, throughout the week. Just kind of, you know, keep a mental inventory on, you know, how you're doing. So that can kind of help prevent some things like this, and, you know, just have an understanding of where you're at in life. Just want to go ahead and thanks you guys for listening again. Hope you enjoyed the episode, and the next one is going to be obsessive compulsive disorder, OCD, which, you know, is also another very common disorder that the majority has and just may not realize it. So we'll dive into that next time, and again, thanks for listening, and yeah, take care of yourselves, and Nick out.